Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
Welcome, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between. You have stumbled into a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. I am one of your co-hosts, Mark Meyer, coming to you live with the sickness, but I am okay. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, you're not down with the sickness, are you?
Not anymore. No, I went through my bout about a month ago. I'm sorry to hear that you and your lady are down with COVID right now, but you look good. You sound great. Got a few days off work, so might be turning into a little mini vacation for you.
I mean, it kind of is, and the irony of that is I already have vacation spots for this month already lined up, so the goal is to at least be better in the quarantine time that I have with my sick days, and then just immediately go right into vacation. So we'll just call August Mark's vacation month, but yeah, I'm good. The lady got through her first bout where it was really kicking her ass, but she's good now. But we're still testing positive. So, you know, what can we do but stay inside and, you know, get a good day drunk on early in the day while people are at work? Because what else are we going to do? So that is how it's going over here. And while we're doing that, we are just listening to some kick-ass tunes, including but not limited to Van Halen. Let me just go ahead and say that. Corey, here's something. What are you listening to these days besides Van Halen?
You know what? Listening to a lot of things. I just got the Georgia Satellites live album on vinyl, so I've been listening to a lot of that. And in preparation for tonight, Mark, listening to a lot of Tom Petty, and in particular, a certain Tom Petty podcast that's very near and dear to my heart.
Well, there you go. The Tom Petty. There's never a bad time to listen to Tom Petty. Often I feel like, especially during the summertime, if you want something to listen to just sort of chill out, have a few drinks with some friends, listen to Tom Petty. If you feel like raging in a way, you can listen to Tom Petty. He still has some songs for, you know, for that specific purpose. And kind of like our podcast, where you would think so many people would be talking about Van Halen, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of people talking about Tom Petty in podcast form, which is kind of a strange. However, that has been rectified because our guest tonight is the host of the Tom Petty Project podcast. We have with us Kevin Brown. Kevin, thank you for joining us for tonight's episode.
Well, thanks so much for having me on, guys. Yeah, this is an absolute thrill. It's always nice when you get to guest on a podcast that you genuinely love and listen to. And I'm a sort of a day of release. That's one of my things that I have to listen to is And the Podcast Will Rock. And I love it. So thank you very much for doing what you're doing too. It's great to have a couple of guys go through Van Halen's catalog, and especially without sort of, you know, the Rick Beato snobby kind of ear. I like the sort of the fan take on it. I really appreciate you guys doing that. So yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. It's very nice that not everybody hates us. I know a lot of the diehard Van Halen folks, little that mad at Mark nice. And I, yeah, because we don't do our research so well, and we actually spin a wheel to determine the song. We don't get to research it, you know, 6 days before we record or anything. We're actually flying off the top of our heads. So we've been very lucky. We've had a lot of very knowledgeable guests on the show. And the one thing you notice when you're listening to Kevin's show, dude fucking knows his stuff, like musically, historically, everything about Tom Petty. Like I've read a lot of Tom Petty books. One of my favorite music docs is Peter Bogdanovich's great documentary, 4-hour doc on Tom Petty. I'm still learning stuff every single week when I'm listening to your show. So count me among the biggest fans of the Tom Petty Project. And that's why I really wanted you to kick off All-Star August here on End the Podcast Will Rock, because I know you're going to knock this one out of the park too, buddy.
No pressure there then, hey? Thank you.
Nope, none at all.
Yeah, and I would say just quickly too, thank you to you guys, not just for having me on, but for really sort of reigniting my love of Van Halen. It was a huge band for me growing up, and I'll maybe get into that, but I kind of drifted away from them when the whole Michael Anthony stuff and Chickenfoot, when that all went down, and I kind of thought that that was shitty the way that Mike got treated. And, you know, Sammy going, that's fine, because they're singers are singers, and they'd already had this change of singer, so you can sort of forgive that a little bit more. But I was really kind of mad that they'd treated Michael like that, because he's not just a great bass player and musician, but such a cool guy, you know. And to sort of treat, in my perception was that, well, fuck those guys, you know. Anyways, then sort of stayed away for a long while, then found out, you know, about Eddie's cancer coming back, and sort of started listening again a little bit, found your podcast through the Deep Dive Network, and started listening again. It's like, man, you know, I'd kind of forgotten how much I love Van Halen. And I really, you know, going back in and listening to songs that I knew like the back of my hand, or listen to stuff that I hadn't listened to before, like A Different Kind of Truth. I didn't even know that had been released, I'll be perfectly honest with you, until listening to your podcast and getting to that album. I'm like, oh, shit, man, that's a good album. So thank you so much for reigniting a passion. So,
absolutely, our pleasure. Yeah. And it's actually reigniting our passion in Van Halen, too, because Mark and I were in a very similar boat when we started this show. And we rediscovered things like A Different Kind of Truth, which is low-key one of their best records. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
But Kevin, I got to ask you about this, because you sent this to me last night. I don't think Mark's ever seen this. He's looking at it for the first time. It's this little spreadsheet you did up here with some certain stats about our show. Maybe tell us about that.
Oh, I'm just a horrendous nerd with too much time in his hands. So basically what I wanted to see was, I wanted to know what the chances were of getting a song that I would, you know, off an album that I love. Because I really wanted something off either F-U-C-K, 5150. Those have been my two sort of top picks on 1984 to push. So I thought, well, what are the chances? How many songs have you done off each album? So I ran it down, and obviously you don't include the instrumental because you always pair those onto another song. So I just wanted to kind of see where all those stats were at, and it's looking pretty good. Like, you've covered half of Van Halen 3, so statistically it's less likely that we're going to get a Van Halen 3 song. Different kind of truth, just because there's so many songs, there's more chance of getting one of those. So I'm pretty confident that we might get something good.
I would love to get some.
Don't jinx us. Don't jinx us with the Van Halen 3 thing. I mean, this wheel is out to get us.
I'll tell you what, though. We did have that one episode. Eric Sedich came out here and he called a shot and he got it.
That is true.
Kevin's done the research. He's put in the work, my friend. Take a look at this document. It's pretty impressive. If he's saying we're getting a 4 Unlawful song, I am not mad at it. I would love to hear me some Pound Cake or Run Around or Top of the World or The Dream Is Over. All would be fantastic. Or maybe a couple of the other songs that aren't so good.
As I say, I want it remembered now that it's recorded. Like, I want it remembered that Corey said he would not mind a song from For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. And when it spins one that he absolutely doesn't want to talk about, we'll revisit this statement.
You know what? I'll tell you what, if it's Spanked or Pleasure Dome, I'll just put my headphones down and I'll walk away and you guys could just handle the show
you'll
without
know.
Me.
When Corey goes silent, that's when you'll know.
Yep. You'll know my vote too. I'll put it, pre-program it for you.
There it is. Kevin, you being our first guest, though, you can confirm, let me just get it out of the way now. You can confirm that the infamous wheel is a real wheel. It's right there in front of us. We spin it every time we do a show. We never know. We never know what track we're going to do ahead of time. We just spin the wheel, and whatever the wheel wants to give us, that's the one we discuss. So just to let the listeners know, the wheel is real. Yes.
If there are any skeptics out there still, and surely to God there can't be, it is real. Like, I'm looking at it right now. It's a beautiful red, black, and white wheel with all the songs on and the albums. So, yeah, it's totally real, dude.
I thought that we would put the naysayers to rest when we started tweeting the wheel out, but even tweeting the wheel out just did nothing. People were just like, this is just fake. You guys rigged this. Like, yeah. Why? Why would we rig it?
I even stopped tweeting the wheel out just for that reason. It was just too much work.
Exactly.
No one did me anyway.
But I mean, but speaking of tweets, you know how we got, how we roll every week. We put out our, I like to call it our rockin' poll, which is we take a poll and we ask you, the listener, of what you think of the song that we cover each week is. So last week's song was Top Jimmy. And Corey, you want to go into the polls and the comments on Top Jimmy?
Absolutely. Out of 74 votes. And there's still actually 14 hours left in the poll. We're recording this a day early than we normally do. But currently, as we're recording this, 91.9% What Dreams Are Made Of for Top Jimmy, only 8.1% This Dream Is Over. And actually, when I get into the comments, there's one that's pretty emphatically against this song. So looking forward to reading that one for you. But let's start with Airhead 3, who always comments every single week. Thank you for that. They say, great song, super tight 3 minutes with no filler. Top Jimmy swings. Fucking right he does. Next up, we got our good buddies from the Sean Geek and Fast Fret podcast, and they say this was an early favorite of mine when I first heard this album, and I always wondered whether this could have been a single reaching into other charts on Billboard. Nice story being told by Dave on this one. I agree. I always like it when it's not just about fucking in Dave lyrics. He's actually telling a story, and this is a great example. Here's the negative vote. Jonathan Todd says, sorry, but I hate this song. It's the song that keeps 1984 from my perfect album playlist. The Oh Jimmy at the end was just so not cool. Van Halen is the epitome of cool, except here. Thoughts, Mark?
Wow. Well, Jonathan, I respect your opinion, and I understand your reasoning, but at the same time, how do you... I don't get it. I just don't get it. Like, this was an absolutely cool Van Halen song. At least I thought so. Corey seemed to think so. I don't get it, man. But kudos to your opinion, I guess.
How about you, Kevin? Are you on Jonathan's side, or did you agree with us on that one?
I didn't like Top Jimmy. Like I said, I mean, I always sort of liked it as a middling sort of song, but learning that backstory about it being about a real guy, I just thought it was Dave sort of conjuring some sort of phantom thing out of the air. But finding out it's a real person and was a cool person, it takes it to a different level for me. Love it. It was a great song.
Awesome. All right. Steve Harold says, as of this moment, 6% of your followers are fools. End up being 8% of the followers are fools, but I agree with you. Tom Armbruster. I always say that wrong. My apologies, Tom. But he says, for the record, with the Ripley guitar, we talked about that Ripley stereo guitar. If you listen to the intro with the headphones on, the notes ping pong back and forth because of the panning feature. So that's kind of cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Next up, Scott says, the perfect album. As the lyrics say, this song cooks and swings. There you have it. That sums it up pretty well. Gene Hickey says, one of my faves, not just from this album either. There you go. So one of his all-time Van Halen faves was Top Jimmy. Nice. Brian from Ottawa says, love this song. Seems to me a song that Dave brought to the band, or he just spit out whatever he felt from Eddie's guitar.
That tracks.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it. It comes from way back in their history. Top Jimmy and his tacos. So they had this one in the hopper for a bit. Even John Mariano says, the vocal minority are wrong on this one. He voted What Dreams Are Made Of on Top Jimmy. So, hell's frozen over because John is voting with the masses.
What's happening is now he no longer has control over his own cult. Everyone's just running amok. It's anarchy. It's complete anarchy.
Absolutely. Maiden A to Z, of course, our friends from the Deep Dive Podcasting Network here, they say definitely a bag full of prime quality dream dust. There you go. Lucas says he's the king. Damn right he is. Greg Zito. Interesting that this was the only 1984 song never played live. By the way, I'm enjoying the fun facts like the one above that you guys are incorporating into the show. So thank you very much, Greg. And whenever we know or can find those fun facts, we'll absolutely send them your way.
We have to reiterate, though, we are not rock historians, unfortunately, for a lot of the listeners who believe that or are under the assumption that we are. We're not. We're just humble fans who like this particular band's music and we want to talk about it. So here we are.
But you know what? There is a rock historian coming on the show, and maybe we'll talk more about that at the end after we play the song. Yeah. Stay tuned. More to come. Yeah. Our good friend Old Handsaw, who's listed as Grumpier Old Handsaw on Twitter, says, top Jimmy Cooks and Swings. Real original, but yeah, I totally agree. Baron Von Grimm says he is the king. Yeah, so the majority of people loving top Jimmy. Only 8% of voting the dream is over on this one. Mark, are we going to get that lucky today? Are we going to roll another 90% Van Halen classic here?
Well, I would have said, I don't know. I would have said that the odds were very good that we're going to roll something that we absolutely want to hear, because there's still so many of the big top tier hits we have not covered. However, unfortunately, with the spreadsheet and the statistics that our good new buddy Kevin brought with us, I'm afraid we might have jinxed ourselves, and I think the wheel is going to take great offense to that. I hope not. I hope not. But we'll see. I would love to hear. I would love to hear something from For Unlawful. Of course, I would love to hear the songs that I'm trying to manifest themselves that I've been waiting ever since we started doing this show to do. But yeah, I would not be mad about For Unlawful, something from that album. What say you, Corey?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. I'm down for some For Unlawful. Or like Kevin said, 5150 as well. There's another one. Mm-hmm. We haven't taken a lot off of my favorite track on that album. We've already done The Best of Both Worlds, but there's still tons of great shit on 5150. But again, I'm going to try and manifest Humans Being. I don't know. I'm in a Twister mood. Twister's playing on cable here in Canada all the time. So I want to talk Evil Weatherman. I want to talk Twister. So hopefully we spin that tonight. Kevin, you mentioned those two albums, 5150 and For Unlawful. Is there any particular track off either of those that you'd be looking forward to tonight?
Yeah, for sure. When you gave me the nod that I was going to be on, I sort of narrowed it down to three that I thought I might want to manifest, because I've got to channel all my energy into one. But so it was Somebody Get Me a Doctor was the first one. Pound Cake, because I know that you guys definitely want to cover it, and it's definitely one of my top five. And then my favorite, but I have to go with my favorite Van Halen song, 5150. So the title track, I just adore that song, and it's so fucking cool. I have a lot to say about it, so everything's crossed. Everything's crossable is crossed.
If we spin Pound Cake, we got to watch the video.
Oh yeah, absolutely, we do.
All right, and one thing I forgot to ask you guys off the air, I'm going to ask it now, but I've prepared a round of Best of Both Books, if you guys are up for it after the show.
Right, yeah.
I picked some quotes. I made it a little bit tougher. So I want to pitch you guys against each other in Best of Both Books. What do you say, you guys in?
Absolutely.
I am totally in for that.
Awesome. All right. What do you say, guys? Without further ado, can we spin this fucker and see what we get?
We are primed. We are ready. And now we just await the voice of Sammy to take us away. Sammy. Here we go.
All right. Oh, this could be a good one. It's not from 5150. It was almost 5150, but it's Finish What You Started from OU812.
I am upset.
Kevin, the next slot up was 5150.
Look at that. Look how close it was. That's amazing.
I don't hate that, though.
I'm not mad at this one, though. Finish What You Started. One of the big tracks from OU812. Mark, I know you got thoughts on this one.
This is absolutely one of my favorite top tier Van Halen tracks. And is it because it is a Sammy tune? Probably, but it's also just a good song. There, I defy anyone to throw this on your playlist, your spinning your record, whatever. This song comes on, you just try your hardest not to vibe to this song, okay? Like, I'm a little kid and I'm listening to this and I'm vibing. You know, that should tell you everything you need to know about where my future was going to lead me. But this is it's just a good vibe song. And Van Halen is all about the party rock. You know, the maybe they're not going to inspire you to go be, I don't know, a revolutionary or something like that, but they want to give you the sense that we're here to have a good time. And having a good time is all about some good old rock and roll. And this song, to me, is one of the epitomes of good time rock and roll. That's I mean, what more could I possibly say about it?
Kevin, what were your thoughts on OU812 in this track?
Yeah, OU812 is I love that album. I've got that one on vinyl. It was one of the first ones I bought on vinyl. Van Halen were a huge band in my sort of formative years. And one of my best friends, who sadly passed away in 2017, got me into tons of bands, including Van Halen, and 5150 Oyo 812 were the first albums that I listened to. And I'm a hard, hard right Sammy Hagar fan over Don't Hate Dave Lee Roth. And again, I'm not going to risk the ire of the fans, but Sammy to me is, that's my guy. That's when I started listening to Van Halen. That's what Van Halen sounds like. So, and this song, it's funny. It's funny though, because, you know, we talk about, you know, I know you guys have talked lots about who was the better lyricist. And my argument is always, well, Dave Lee Roth wrote 90% of the songs were about his dick. And of course, we'll obviously spun tonight, Finish What You Started. It's like, for God's sake, you're not doing me any favors, Sammy.
That's right. This one, for the people who don't know, is famously about Blue Balls. Eddie came up with the riff at like 2 a.m. He was living right next door to Sammy, and Sammy was trying to get it on with his girl. Hagar let Eddie in, and they worked on it until they had completed the song. But once Eddie left, Hagar tried to go finish what he started with his lady friend, and she had fallen asleep. So hence the "Come Home, Baby, Finish What You Started." It's probably the best song about Blue Balls I've ever heard.
I mean, absolutely. And I guess if you were ever to compare the two, David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar, I guess one of the songs that's comparable to one another's variation on their content of how they wrote, here you go. Finish What You Started. It's comparable.
100%.
There we go. What do you say, boy? Should we give this one a spin?
Absolutely. I'm ready.
Here we go. Finish What You Started from OU812. Here we go.
Come on, baby. So straight off the bat, that drum sound is phenomenal. It's so, so, so clean. I think that's when Sammy's when Alex's drum sounds clean like that, I always prefer it. And he's got that really sort of syncopated rhythm to it. And it straight away just makes your shoulders move. And it, like, it's a vibe. It's a groove. I just think that sets up the whole song, that drum groove. So, so, so good.
I think it's so cool that you started. You can tell you're a drummer because you started out with Alex's drum groove as opposed to guitars. Because I'm trying to be a drummer, but I'm listening to the guitars. We have Sammy playing acoustic, accompanying Eddie on this. And little tidbit here that I just discovered, Eddie's finger picking the whole time on this song. He's not using a pick. Yeah. So Mark, maybe you tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you can, there are times where you can hear, I guess when you have a more refined ear, and maybe it's a guitar player thing, but you can hear when it's finger picking versus, you know, just regular pick. But I love, God, this is one of my favorite guitar tones that Eddie has presented to us in any of their songs. And I don't know if it's because it's not clean per se, but it's a lot cleaner than an overdrive distortion sound that you're usually used to hearing Eddie play through. But I don't know. There's something about this. It's sort of reminiscent of old school rock, very blues heavy inspired sort of riffage. Maybe it's just because he is finger picking it. But I love the tone. I have always loved the guitar tone in this song. And right off the bat, they hit you with it. And it's like, it's not going to be your typical Van Halen song, but you're still going to have a good time.
All right, Kevin, as a drummer, you got to be loving what Alex is doing there. It's a lot more straight ahead than what Alex usually gives us, isn't it? Like, usually he's throwing a weird roll in there, doing something maybe a little out of time, but he's just kind of straight ahead there, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, in the intro, you want to set up that groove. But then when you're getting into the bones of the song, I think Van Halen are always at the best when there's space in the songs. And that's one of, you know, 5150 Pound Cake, all those songs, there's space in there, right? He's not filling that frequency on guitar or on drums. They're just giving that space for all those moving parts to sort of swim around. And that's, you know, again, Alex, I mean, he's just a master drummer, and he can play anything. But when you ask him to sit in the pocket and just play a little tight little groove, he's going to do it for you.
I tell you, I got a great Alex story in Best of Both Books. So you want to stick around for that, folks. It's a lot of fun. All right, I gotta tell you, I maybe rag on Sammy's lyrics a little too hard, and some of the Sammy songs we've done lyrically have been kind of dumb. We haven't done Up for Breakfast yet, thankfully, but he's really in the pocket here. I think, you know, singing about sexual frustration, he's getting that message across really clearly in that first verse there.
Mm-hmm. It almost sounds like this is an all improvisational sort of like lyric. It's like, Eddie, play a riff. I'll accompany you on acoustic, and then I'm just gonna vent out whatever I got. And he's venting out frustration, but it works. And it's like, hey, I like that line. Let's do it again, and I'll throw harmony on it. Like, okay, here we go. That's what it kind of comes across. But that's just the sign that you're all in sync and you're all coming together to put a product together that's going to be, I mean, like, everybody is in simpatico for this particular track. At least that's how it sounds.
Yeah, and vocally, he's got that sleaze in it, right? He's got that sort of Dave Lee Roth,
he does,
grease to it, you know. And that's always the criticism, that Sammy's kind of this, you know, straight ahead rocker. He's got no role in his lyrics. Well, man, you listen to this, he can do it, you know. And if you go see him live, he sings Dave's songs pretty goddamn well. So,
no kidding,
yes, he does.
But I really like you brought that up, Kevin, because we talked about Gary Cherone and how Mark always says, you know, he's trying to sound like Sammy. Or like Dave on Van Halen 3, right? And you really get that. He's not trying to sound like Dave here, but he's got his own level of sleaze on this that just works so well for a Van Halen tune.
I said just that low register stuff. Like, it's actually really hard to sing down there. You know, when you get into your mid-range, that's easy because you're just pushing air out and then you can sustain those notes. But to sing that clean and hit your tone so well, that low register, it's a lot harder than people think it might be, so...
And have you heard Sammy lately? Like, he still sounds like amazing. Like, David Lee Roth just released a couple of new tracks here in the last few weeks. One about Van Halen, actually, which you should go to the Van Halen news desk and check out the video for. You know, dude hasn't been able to sing in a long, long time, but Sammy with the Circle now still belting him out and sounding fantastic. All right, Mark, you like a good chorus and you like a nice Michael Anthony harmony. You got to be pretty happy right now.
I'm extremely happy. And it's the context of the song itself about what it's about. I mean, it comes through pretty clearly. I love that. It's like, finish what you started. I'm incomplete.
Like, yes, that ain't no way indeed. To treat the brokenhearted.
Yeah, that ain't no way. Exactly. I mean, like, I need some sympathy. We've all been there, my dude. Yeah, the only sympathy you're gonna get are maybe from other dudes. Like, ooh, tough break. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if been anybody else is gonna get to you. Yeah, especially, but
and we're all married or close to. In Mark's case, we know that pain. Maybe the wife went to bed a little bit too early.
I love that it too. You get that nice, it's got some kind of a rock and roll trope, but it's that call and response, right? So that the harmony's on the first line and Sammy answering on the second, and it's so effective. And again, you got that very clean harmony, and then Sammy here now, he's kind of getting up into that little bit, that mid to upper range now, where he's kind of bringing a bit more heat to his vocal, which again, just a bit of variety in the song, it always works well.
And that call and response is fantastic live, right? Like, if you guys listen to live right here, right now, they do this track on there.
Yeah.
And you got that natural call and response with the audience. It's everybody loves it. It's fantastic.
That's the best. That's what you want, essentially, as a musician. You want the call and response. You want the audience to, you know, participate.
And that's, you got to think, I mean, that's going to probably be a decision where you come in and we've written this song and we've got this call and response, and someone at some point goes, oh, this is going to be brilliant because we can get the audience to sing that bit. You know, and especially if you do break it down, and you break it down, just have the drums and the bass maybe, and take the guitars out all together. You can do that for a good minute or two, right? If you want to do that. Yeah. So one of those really good arena performance songs.
He's got it so bad, it's alive and kicking inside of him. Like, Jesus, the guy's in bad shape.
Look, man, he needs a release, just a little bit of relief.
if you listen to it too, like the phrasing, the intonation he's using on I Like to Look Too Long and I Like to Take Each Step One, but that one by one when he sings that, pure Robert Plant. Oh, yeah. It's pure Robert Plant. The way he bends that vowel in, it's so freaking cool, man. And I love that when musicians pull from each other and they sort of say, well, I'm going to take that, you know, Van Halen does, I think it was Take Your Whiskey Home. That's just him channeling Billy Gibbons. That's ZZ Top. It's just, you know, that Southern Texas rock stuff. So when they borrow those things in and sort of paint them with their own colors, super, super cool.
Fuck, no, I'm mad I didn't point that out on the whiskey show. I should have pointed out that they're borrowing from ZZ Top because that was one of their big influences back in the early days. They used to do LaGrange in every show they did.
It used to not be such a bad thing that musicians were pretty open about, I borrowed this from so-and-so, or like, this riff is totally derivative of that. Yeah, for sure, because I'm a big fan. That didn't used to be a bad thing. These days, when people do it, it's just like, oh, you're just ripping them off. And then people are like, no, I'm not. like, yeah, you are. You're ripping off. Like, it's almost taboo now.
Yeah.
But back in the day, it didn't used to be so bad. All you had to do was just say, like, I totally... You know, I stole this from so-and-so because why wouldn't I? They're awesome. They're great. You love them. We all love them. Why wouldn't I borrow from it? It was okay.
It's how the blues was born. And it's how rock and roll was born. It was exactly that. It was people stuff and building on it, right? So, yeah, absolutely.
All great artists steal.
There's no Aerosmith without Led Zeppelin. Like,
correct.
They cribbed so much stuff from Led Zeppelin. And look, David Lee Roth even. Took so much from Robert Plant in his early stage presence, right? Like he's Robert Plant 2.0. So come on, baby, please. Come on, baby, finish what you started. Oh, I'm incomplete. That ain't no way to treat the broken hearted. Ow! Come on and finish me. I wanted to ask you, Mark, we talk about Van Halen, Eddie Van Halen lots, and obviously Eddie Van Halen is the common denominator in everything that makes Van Halen what they were and so, so, so brilliant, backed up by some fantastic musicians. But we all know he's a shredder. We all know he sort of pioneered the use of finger tapping. But as a rhythm guitarist, listen to what he's playing in this song. That's a lead line, really. But he's playing this incredible rhythm section, and his timing, his meter is insane. It's absolutely insane how good he is and so sticking on beat. Like, it's almost like you could take your time off him instead of the drums. He's that good.
Yeah, well, it helps when the other guy that you tend to jam with probably most, if not all of your life, is your brother, and he's your drummer. And your brother drummer also happens to be, like, very, very solid in his rhythm. That helps. But it also helps when you're Eddie Van Halen and you're just a musical genius as it is. So he probably, even if Alex weren't his drummer, I have to assume Eddie would still have pretty good rhythm himself. Maybe he wouldn't lean into it so hard because he's a lead player. We all know that because that's what composers have to be. But you're right. Yeah, this is more like it's most certainly the rhythm section, but he's playing it as the lead. But I mean, if you're a blues player, you're playing blues guitar and it's just you and a microphone, you're playing guitar, like you kind of have to do both. And I feel like there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that early Clapton influence in Eddie showcasing within this track in particular. I mean, and he does it throughout their discography, but definitely here you hear it. You're absolutely right. But it's certain, like I said, it doesn't hurt that the other guy he jams with all the time is his brother, who's a drummer. So rhythm is everything.
I was gonna say he's playing a lot. That's quite an intricate, involved rhythm section, but it's also super cool. Like I said, when you put the space in the song, and that's why Alex doesn't need to play so much, is because you can't get everything too swampy and too overwhelmed. So you've got, you know, Sammy singing this great lyric and Eddie's laying down this crazy groove. So everyone else just has to sit back and let that happen, right? Don't jump in and don't mix it up and muddle it up. So,
yeah.
Well, and I wanted to ask you guys, because Sammy Hagar's in there playing a little rhythm too, just kind of adding some color here and there. Sure. What do you think of his contributions on the guitar to the song?
I don't see why you don't have him do that, because I mean, Sammy was known for being a guitar player / lead vocalist before he joined. So it would make no sense to me anyway, just as a fan of the bands and of his, and as a musician, it would make no sense to me why they wouldn't at least on occasion, incorporate more of his guitar playing to it, even just for, you know, extra rhythm. Because, as we say, Eddie's a lead guy. He doesn't want to have to worry about rhythm most of the time, even though subconsciously he already does, because it's him and Alex running the show. But as we know, Eddie likes to take the reins sometimes and more of the rhythm section by playing bass when they don't want Michael playing on the record, which baffles me, but it's fine. So you bring in Sammy Hagar. Why would you not? Why would you not have him play a little bit?
Would it shock you to hear he's only played on two Van Halen tracks?
That would shock me, and that's disappointing.
Doesn't shock me so much, because in the studio, you know, as much as like I totally agree with what you're saying, Mark, but if you've got Eddie, let Eddie play.
Yeah, it's true. But I mean, just if you want just a little bit extra, you know, it's just like Eddie could do, he could record the rhythm himself and then just go back and do the leads on top of it, because we can do that. But I don't know. Sammy's a competent guitar player and a vocalist, so let him play once in a while. Two songs. That is, to me, I don't know. That does seem kind of shocking, but what are you going to do?
Do you think there was any part of that was the decision to bring Sammy in? Do you think because he could play guitar to a level that was, you know, acceptable Van Halen, so it changed the live show, right? Because I don't think Dave ever played on stage, did he?
No.
Not on stage, no.
So that changes that. I mean, that frees Eddie up to be able to, it maybe opens up the catalog a bit where they can play some of those things where there is a bit more of a, you know, an involved rhythm section and lead going on at the same time. So that means that you can sort of fill the sound out and play these songs a little bit closer to the way you want it to do. Because really, you know, with Dave Lee Roth, it's a three piece with a singer, you know, and now it's a true four piece, right? So,
yeah, I wish they would have done that on Pound Cake, though, when they did that live, because you listen to live right here, right now,
man,
in an Eddie solo section, right on the album, you know, he's playing that main riff underneath as the rhythm while he's soloing over top. Live, we just have Mikey just kind of hammering those notes that underneath, and it just doesn't deliver that punch that it did. But I'm not talking Pound Cake. We're talking Blue Balls.
We'll get there.
Yeah. Let's get to it before I explode. Okay, Mark, I got to ask you about this because I'm reading this in the Van Halen Encyclopedia, and they say during the solo, Eddie's using a technique never previously heard from Eddie called chicken picking,
which
is a bluegrass and country music staple. Tell us a little bit about chicken picking.
Well, I can't tell you completely the ins and outs of it just because I am not a chicken picking type of player, but I can tell you it's more profound in, like you say, bluegrass, country, and blues players. It's basically just a method style of picking your guitar strings. And again, if I were more acclimated into it, I could probably describe it in greater detail, but unfortunately I cannot. I will let the people of the Twitterverse, you guitar players out there that are obviously way more in your expertise on these things, can correct me. But it is a style of guitar playing on how to pick the strings a particular way that you hear most predominantly in country, bluegrass, and like blues music.
It sounds like it's up plucked as well, doesn't it? It sounds like it's more up than down. You know what I mean? Like it's snapping on, and then palm muted probably to get that sort of slightly palm muted just to get that sort of snapped off, really staccato tone.
Thank you. I think that's probably the extent of chicken picking. It's very staccato. So it's just like, with the picking upward motion, like Kevin said. So yeah, there you go. And again, fact check me out there, everybody. I'm not a pristine chicken picker. I could go outside to Nashville and be like, hey, somebody come here and describe this to me. And somebody will answer. But, Kevin, I think you nailed it. Basically what the ins and outs of chicken picking are.
And I'm not a guitarist, so I might be way off too, but it's got that real, I love it, because it's got that sort of 50s sort of Chet Atkins, Carl Perkin, you know what I mean? It's got that feel to it, and it comes out of nowhere because, you know, you start with that sort of bluesy kind of thing, and then you've got that, you know, pretty steady riff, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere comes this country bluegrass thing. It's incredible.
But it works.
Yeah.
It still works based on just the vibe of how the song is structured. So it's not, this is a solo that is not taking away the aspects of how the song is formed whatsoever, which Eddie has been, we have recently discovered, Eddie has been bad about that sometimes, where he can just go off and just keep going off. And the next thing you know, Corey likes to use the example of the solos in the Living Color song Cult of Personality, where it's just, there's too many notes. There's too many notes in those solos. Yeah. They're unnecessary. And I would agree. My only difference is, my only differing opinion is like, yeah, but I like all those notes in that song.
I do too.
Yeah. But I understand what he means. And we came across that in a recent song that we covered. I'm blanking on which one it is, but I said to Corey, yeah, I think this is the one. This is the one where Eddie's playing too many notes, and it just, this solo does not service the song. So that's, he's doing too much. In this particular instance, I don't think so. He's doing something a little different, but yet it blends so well. It blends so well to it. It just, it's quite the masterwork.
Well, I tell you, I'm glad the chicken picking was solely on the guitar, because if there was a chicken in the studio, I'd be a little worried what Sammy was going to do to it, because he sounded really fucking.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Desperate. with those last few babies, he's about ready to fuck anything that moves. But Sammy's
How
at this point.
Dare you? How dare you sully Sammy's good name, insisting that he might take a run at a chicken because he's suffering blue balls so bad?
When it gets bad enough, you turn into a trisexual where you'll try anything, mud, chickens, whatever is fucking near. You'll try anything. And I think that's where Sammy's at here.
We might be on something here. He called his next band Chickenfoot. Are we onto something here? Is this a conspiracy theory now?
God damn it.
It's canon. You heard it here. Mark agreed. Okay.
That's right. We're experts. It's canon now. That's right.
Most pathetic please I think I've ever heard in a song. I didn't mean to stop it so soon.
The man is like, in pain. Just,
physical like, pain at this please. He got through like the big help. babies and yeah, there's please. Where's that chicken? All right, as a drummer, I know, and you're sitting here air drumming, Kevin, but that transition, right? He's doing that kind of offbeat, and then the little roll into the straight beat again. That's phenomenal shit.
It's so good, man. Like, when you sit down and try and play Alex's stuff, it's even to get, like, something that's as simple as jump, or, you know, what sounds simple on this, getting those accents right, it's so freaking tough, man. Like, he's doing a lot of work there that because he makes it sound, like, effortless, right?
Yeah.
But again, that syncopated offbeat stuff is, I love that stuff. And he's throwing it back in and then comes in dead on the one, straight into the back, into straight times. Like, ah, man, kill for those chops.
Yeah.
If I've got one slight criticism about this song, I think you could fade it out here. I think it could have, they drag it just a little bit further than maybe it needs to be. And sometimes that's, you know, the bands do that. Sometimes you think, well, why have we got a 2-minute outro when you're really just kind of looping through the same thing and not doing too much different? So anyway.
And possibly so, but maybe metaphorically, how this song ends is kind of how Sammy ends, right? He's given up at this point and just baby, come on, bang, done. All right, yeah. I can go to bed now. Maybe there was something to it there.
Could be.
Oh, this one fades out. I thought it ended. Just baby, come on. Was that maybe an edit on a Greatest Hits that I'm thinking of? Or?
Could be. I thought it. I was pretty sure it faded out, but then I started second guessing myself because you said that. So
yeah, that always fades out.
All right, OU 812. Finish what you started.
I mean, this, like I said, this is one of my top tier Van Halen songs. So, you know, not to show my hand too quickly in the voting process, but I mean, it's good vibes. It's a good time. The content is silly, but I mean, but it's relatable, especially if, you know, you're a particular individual. So yeah, like what's not to like, honestly.
And it's just, it's musically so different. That's what I like about Van Halen is they can do the straight up rock. They can do the four to the floor thrashing ahead, but every now and again, they'll throw something like this in where it just changes it's a palate cleanser, mid-album palate cleanser. It throws you for a loop. And it's like, they've never done anything like this. And I love those songs. Women and Children First, you know, Could This Be Magic? It's the same off that album. It's that same thing where you think, well, this is different. I really, really like this. It doesn't all have to be just chugga-chugga, you know what I mean? So yeah, no, mm-hmm. I absolutely love this song. I always have done, yeah.
Is this maybe the most eclectic Van Hagar album? Like, you got some heavier tracks like Source of Infection, Mine All Mine. You got, of course, the big ballad, When It's Love. Cabo Wabo has kind of a different feel to it. And then you got just kind of a nice little basic groove on this one. You know, they kind of go different places on this record.
People might say this is their softest album, but I tend to agree with you. I think this is their most dynamic one. Yeah, especially dynamic with Sammy in particular. Yes, I would agree.
Yeah, me too. It's very diverse, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the biggest question is, and we're going to start with Corey. Corey, now we know what the song is about. We know your feelings on OU812. But the question is Finish What You Started what dreams are made of? Special dreams, happy dreams, or is this just going to be a sad dream is over for you?
Obviously, this is what dreams are made of. This is maybe overall my least favorite Sammy Hagar Van Halen album, which means it's still one of my favorite records of all time. I still really love this record. You know, the song preceding this, I wasn't a big fan of, Feel So Good. We did that on this show. It was just kind of, I don't think actually any of us recommended it, actually. But they really kind of pick it back up with Finish What You Started on side two of OU812. Love this record. There's some really great shit on here. Cabo Wabo is a real standout. Of course, if you're looking for the best power ballads in Van Halen history, you're probably looking at When It's Love from this record. But Finish What You Started has always been a standout for me. In 88, OU812 never left my cassette deck. And I was playing side two over and over again for this song. This is absolutely what dreams are made of.
All right. Well, there you go. And Kevin, you are our guest for this week's show. Was Finish What You Started what dreams are made of for you, or is the dream just over?
Yeah, I mean, it's just fun, right? And I think that Van Halen at their best are, and rock and roll should be fun sometimes. That's why I don't really listen to a lot of death metal and speed metal. It's just a bit, I'm not that angry, dude. Like, I'm middle class, middle-aged, white, straight. Like, what am I got to be angry about? So have some fun out there, you know. When I saw them live, they didn't do this one, and it's one of the ones that I would have loved to have seen live. So great song. Great song.
All right, Mark, that just leaves you. Are you going to make it 3 for 3? It's hard to get a read on you. I was kind of watching your face as we're doing this one, and I think it could go either way.
God damn it, baby. No, I ain't lying to you. I'm only going to tell you one time.
Should have just let David be my review after that. Should have just left it at that. Yeah, that would have been great. Well, I am an angry dude, and I love me some... Thank you. I love me some speed and death metal for sure. However, I like to vibe, and I like to chill as well. And as I've said, and I reiterate everything Corey and Kevin have said about this song, this is just a good time. It's fun. This is a good chill, yet just a good vibe song, good rockin' song. Even if Van Halen didn't do it, I would still be into this song just because it just feels so good. It's just a good time. It's one of those songs that you can just kick on at any time, doing any activity. I'll tell you this: if I walk into a bar and I hear this song playing on the jukebox, rest assured I'm at least staying for 2 drinks minimum. 2, you know, not just 1, 2. I mean, like, it could be the diviest dive, and I've been in some dives before. But if I hear this song when I walk in, like, well, I'm not going to leave while this song is playing. I'm at least having 2 beers. So here we go. I love this song. I love that it's Sammy era. You can say what you want about his lyrical content, but you can't deny the man's vocal ability. And you can't deny that sometimes when the band just comes together and formulate something pretty great, you got to acknowledge, you can't say that it's not. And to me, Finish What You Started is one of those times where they got together and everything just worked. Everything works in this song. I love it. It's not their heaviest. It's not their most powerful, but it is just a good rocking tune. And it happens to be from one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time. And there you go. Yes, Finish What You Started is what dreams are made of. Happy dreams. Bust out the happy tissues, because that's what it's all about.
I would also throw in, Mark, and I don't know, you probably will agree with this, it's one of the very, very few Sammy era songs that Dave Lee Roth might have actually just about been able to sing.
Oh, Dave. Yes, Diamond Dave could absolutely do this song. This one.
Not many of us.
Not many of the others, Sammy tunes. Yeah, this one he could do.
And I'm a Dave guy. I agree 100%.
These are just the facts. I would be very shocked if Dave himself didn't even admit it. It's like, oh yeah, that one I could do. Not the other ones. I don't want to do the other ones. Can't or won't.
And it's funny too, like, listen to this podcast again. I said at the top, it's sort of thrown me back into listening to Van Halen and listening back to Dave Lee Roth more. Because, you know, it's like, I don't listen to Dave Lee Roth a lot more, and I've got much more of an appreciation for him now. But, you know, the argument about who's the better lyricist, I mean, they're both writing party songs. I mean, I think that Sammy tackled a few more deep subjects or tried to take lyrics in a different direction than Dave did. But either or, I mean, lyrically, they're not, you know, I don't think they're a million miles apart. But vocally, I don't know, dude, like the scream at the end of Pound Cake, I mean... There's not many other singers. Never mind Dave Lee Roth. There's not many rock singers can hit that note. But I was looking at
that whole album. For Unlawful, man. Oh, man, he can't touch anything from For Unlawful vocally.
I just wanted to give you some ammo, though, Mark, because in the discussion between Sammy and Dave Lee Roth, I was looking, no number one album with Dave. All 4 with Sammy went to number one.
Oh, whoa, so, I'm aware. You know, I'm very aware. So, that's like when if you go back to those early shows, when I keep, you know, mentioning, it's like, I'm pretty sure commercially, you know, Sammy stands apart and everything. And people just attacked me. It's like, get your facts straight. And like, yeah, OK, well, I did. But you keep at it. It's fine. No, people are the Diamond Dave hards are diehards, and that's fine. I'm not against Diamond Dave. I need to reiterate this every single week.
I gotta point this out. We do this every time. When you're talking about record sales, David Lee Roth, 57 million worldwide, Sammy Hagar, 27.
Yeah.
So $30 million difference. However, I mean, a lot of those sales of the first 6 came after Sammy Hagar hit big with Van Halen in the 80s.
See,
so
okay,
still, so 100%. The debate rages on.
Well, what that says to me is that the greatest flavor in the world, and I can attest to this, the greatest flavor in life is spite. And I feel like so many people went back and bought those Roth era records after Sammy out of spite. Like, there's no way we're not gonna let Sammy Hagar be the be all end all of vocalists of Van Halen. Not while I'm around here. I'll take 12 copies of Women and Children First, please.
Well, and that's the one that didn't sell, right? I think it barely crawled to like a million.
Know,
but once Sammy hit it big in the 80s, everybody went back and bought the back catalog. Women and Children and Diver Down are now at like, 4 million each. But they weren't even close to that in the 70s and early 80s.
When you guys are having this conversation, about of course it's Van Halen, so you love it all. But a lot of comments that I've heard when I'm talking, especially guitarists, is that they feel that Eddie went soft when Sammy came, because obviously they went to a bit of a broader appeal. But man, like 5150, there's some of the best riffs you ever wrote on that album. Summer Nights and 5150 alone are two of the standout riffs that Eddie Van Halen ever wrote. Brilliant, brilliant guitar songs. They just happen to have Sammy Hagar singing on them and not Dave Lee Roth. So I don't know, when you talk to people, do you get that divide where it tends to be musicians tend to prefer Dave Lee Roth here just because there's this sense that that's when Eddie was, authentically Eddie? Or...
Yeah, absolutely. Because, of course, starting 5150, that's when the keyboards came in a little more prominently, right? It's the same fans that hate Jump, their only number one hit. But, they'll sit there and cross their arms in concert when they started playing Jump. I fucking hate this song. It's the same guys who, hate Metallica after And Justice for All. All that's dog shit. Metallica died after And Justice for All. No, there's good shit all over. Just open your mind to it. And you mentioned 5150 being a great guitar album. Best of Both Worlds is a fantastic fucking guitar song too.
Yep.
I'll throw that up there too. That whole record. Oh,
yes,
just
it is.
Amazing rock and tracks. 100%.
I think it just depends on the musician that you talk to. I feel like, and maybe I'm just speaking as a biased vocalist, but I feel like if you talk to a lot of people who are in tune in the vocalist era, even they will lean way more towards Sammy just in terms of technique. Yeah. But again, and we keep talking about it every single time, as far as charisma and frontman goes, Diamond Dave's got him every time. And I will never debate that. My debate is simply better singer, in the form, the action of singing. It's most,
not
it
a
is
debate.
Most definitely Sammy Hagar. Yeah, it is most is certainly Sammy Hagar. And people don't seem to understand when I'm trying to make that distinction. They're like, when I say singer, they just think I mean all around of every aspect. Like, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the form of singing. Sammy Hagar is,
listen to the Tokyo Dome live album. It's fucking painful. Listen how Dave sings Panama on that album.
Oh.
It's painful. And he was good in his time because he kind of knew his wheelhouse and stuff like that. But lately? Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And my thing is, and I can only speak for me personally, but a live show can make or break a band for me. I don't care how big of a fan I am. If I hear a band live and they are not good from what they sound like on the record, then I might be done with them. Yeah. I might be absolutely done with them. Or if it's a band that I don't particularly care for on record, but I go see them live, all right, let me hear what they sound like live. It's going to be a nightmare. And they actually sound good. Hey, you got a new fan. How about that? Like these things happen and these things matter. And unfortunately, you compare the two, you can say what you want about record sales, but when live show comes into play, Dave just can't hang, and he couldn't hang for a long time. And as Corey mentioned, Sammy is still hanging. Sammy has been hanging for years and he's still doing it.
It's just a natural, right? I mean, when I saw him live, I saw him live in 2004. So that's 18 years ago now. So I think Sammy would have been, well, Christ, how old is he now? Like 850 years old or some shit.
Oh,
so
I don't know.
He was an old guy. Like I think, and he just had his 74 now. Holy crap.
Yeah,
so he would have been 56, something like that. And he came out and it's still literally the best vocal performance I've ever seen. And I've seen, I saw U2 and, obviously not a hard rocker, but U2, Bono, just as a vocalist, is unbelievably good. And I saw Adam Lambert with Queen and he's unbelievably good. Sammy Hagar was that level. He's just so fucking consistent in his delivery, in the way he sings. And also, by the way, not a bad frontman. You know, so
not at all. No.
Oh yeah, I agree too. You know, it's like, I mean, that's just the endless debate that will always go down even amongst the casual fans of Van Halen, but not to mention the hardcore fans. Yeah. It's always the camp. It is most certainly always going to be a Hagar versus Roth camp. And then we just choose not to acknowledge Gary Cherone's album because, well, we just don't. Apologies.
There's good
to Gary,
stuff on that album. There's good stuff.
There's the one song so far that we've reviewed that I was just like, okay, that wasn't so bad. Fine, just the one. I'm hoping whatever's left might change my mind, but I'm not counting on it. Again, apologies to Gary Cherone, but hey, you guys were awesome in that Queen tribute show. I just have to point that out because I watched that concert. It was great.
I played that for Mark after last week's recording. I said, do you want to see Gary Cherone at the height of his powers? The Queen medley from the Freddie Mercury tribute concert.
Amazing.
Extreme it's at amazing. Their best. Yep. Can you imagine so the balls to go on a Queen tribute show and then do a Queen fucking medley on the same bill with Queen and Robert Plant and James Hetfield and David Bowie and Elton John and Axl Rose? Like the stones on those fucking guys, and they pulled it off. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, and
it was so good.
Just one quick one, not to beat the dog to the Van Halen 3 dog to death, but Gary Cherone is not, for me, Gary Cherone is not the problem with that album at all.
Yeah.
He's the least of the problems that I have with that album, just sonically and in terms of songwriting and riffs and everything else. He's the least of my worries on that album. But,
well, he didn't have much to do on that album. That was mostly
Eddie. Yeah. We certainly don't blame Gary whatsoever for the turnout of how the record was. I don't blame him. Unfortunately, his contributions just didn't help. And it just, you know, but what are you going to do? Yeah, like we've talked about it. He didn't have a lot of time to really assert himself as, okay, this is me. This is my vocal style. I'm in this band. They should have done a tour together beforehand. We've talked about that. And like the results show. But we're not talking about Van Halen 3 yet. We were not. It's fine. We were discussing Finish What You Started, which is one of my all-time favorite Van Halen songs. I'm so glad we spun that. This was so good talking about it. I love listening to this song. I love vibing, and I love vibing with good people talking about the glory that is Van Halen tunes. And it's always good to do that when we have like-minded individual guests like Kevin Brown from the Tom Petty show. Oh my God, I'm blanking on the name. I'm sorry. Please, you know what, Kevin? As a sign off, please let the people know what you got going on. Let them know about the Tom Petty podcast.
Yeah, so Tom Petty Project is a song-by-song, album-by-album review. I'm not doing it in random order. I am doing it in album and track list order. I get guests on usually mid-season and end of season. I've got a really good episode going out tomorrow with an interview with a young lady named Janet Lavelle. I've got an interview with Jeff Slate, who's a writer for Esquire and Rolling Stone and the New York Times and all those places. So getting in touch with people who knew Tom or sort of spent some time or have a relationship with his music. And you can find me on Twitter and on Facebook and on Instagram. So if you're into Tom Petty, check it out.
And when you get the Wildflowers, please consider myself and Mark for maybe coming on the show. Because that's one of my favorite albums of all time. I would love to talk about, you know, Honey Bee or Cabin Down Below or you know, any of those classic songs. But Mark, we're not done. If you remember, at the beginning of the show, I said, we got to play a little best of both books. All right. So if you boys are ready, I went through both autobiographies of Sammy Hagar and David Lee Roth. And I picked out some choice quotes. You got to tell me in what book this quote came from. Are you guys ready?
Oh, yes.
All right, here we go. The first quote. I fucked everything that walked. I had my own little tent underneath the stage. Eddie had his tent. Al had one. Mike had one. Mike and Al were on one side. Eddie and I were on the other side because Eddie was a dirty dog like me. What book did that come from? Mark, let's start with you.
I mean, that's such a Roth quote to me. That is such a Roth quote. I have to say, I gotta, and if I'm wrong, then awesome, but that sounds very much like David Lee Roth.
Okay, David Lee Roth. Kevin, what's your vote?
I think it's Sammy. I think I've heard it before, and I think it's Sammy. I don't know why, but that's just, as soon as you started the quote, I'm sure I've heard this story. So that's, I'm going with Sammy now. I might be wrong too, but.
You're going with Sammy? All right. Well, yeah. I can tell you right now, you're right. That came from Red by Sammy Hagar. Wow. Kevin's up 1-0 on that one.
That's amazing.
All right. Okay. Our next quote is, I bet you I could shotgun 10 beers, Al said. He's got 10 talls of malt liquor. I bet you $1,000, he said. Al's a betting man. One time he lost his BMW to me on a bet. Which book did that quote come from? Let's start with Kevin on this one.
Ooh, that one's tougher. That one feels more Dave Lee Roth just the way it's written to me.
Okay.
So I'm going to go Diamond Dave on that one.
Diamond Dave. Okay, Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm also going Diamond Dave on that one.
You're both wrong. Both came from Red by Sammy Hagar.
Wow.
Man. And this is actually...
You know what? I got to stop distrusting my instincts because it's like, maybe that one was Sammy.
And you know what? And this is the story, because after he shotgunned those 10 talls of malt liquor, he tried to catch a stick. He tried doing a flip on his driveway. He landed face first on the driveway. They had to call the ambulance. And Sammy says in his book, the next day, Alex showed up at the studio and he was like wrapped up like a mummy. Because his face looked like fucking road pizza from face planting on the driveway after shotgunning these beers. So,
what year would that have been then? What year would that have been from?
I'm trying to remember. I think that was around For Unlawful, but don't quote me on that. I just kind of flipped through the book at random and I kind of pick a page. So, here we go. The next quote. When I left Van Halen, it was not something I was delighted to do. I was not celebrating. I was not relieved. I perceived that Van Halen was heading towards catastrophe. What book did that come from? Let's go with Mark.
I feel like, that's a good one, because that could be either one. We just had two Sammys in a row. So I feel like to throw us off, you might want to give us another Sammy quote, or you're giving him a break. This one, I'm gonna go Diamond Dave.
Okay, Diamond Dave for Mark. Kevin, what do you think?
Yeah, and see, if I just employ a little bit of game theory here, what I really should do is go Diamond Dave as well, because then I can't lose any footing on, you know, it's gonna be 2-1 or 1-0 still. So, but I'll make it interesting. Let's go Sammy. Let's say you're giving us 3 in a row. I'll go Sammy.
We're all tied up. Mark Kammeyer is right. That came right, from Crazy from the Heat by David Lee Roth. So we're tied 1-1. All right. Our next quote. Even though the tour was big, the Van Halen brothers were still working that attitude on me that I wasn't doing enough. If you could sing 5 nights a week, think on how much money we'd make, they said. If you can't sing, just dance, they'd say. What book did that come from? Kevin.
Well, I can't see them telling Sammy to just dance. You know what I mean? Like, Dave's got the stage presence and his high kicks and everything else. So I got to go Dave on that one. I think I got to go Dave on that one, yeah.
Okay, we got one for David Lee Roth. Mark, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I also think that one's Dave, just because, yeah, if they had told Sammy to do that, Sammy might have just said, like, I'm not fucking dancing. Like, what am I going to do here? You know, whereas Dave would be like, I mean, okay, I'm a dance. So, yeah, I'm going to assume this one's also David Lee Roth.
You're both wrong. That came from Red by Sammy Hagar. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. All right. I need to read this book.
I'm glad I made this harder for you guys here. Okay.
Yeah, you did.
Our next quote. We worked on the next Van Halen record. There were constant delays and screaming. It sounded like a sack of sick cats. What book did that come from? Mark Kammeyer.
Based on the vocabulary, once again, I'm going to say this one's David Lee Roth. That's been my guess every time.
Kevin?
Yeah, I think it's Diamond Dave, and I think I would be willing to further guess that he might be talking about Diver Down. I don't know why, but that just...
You know what? It is David Lee Roth, but he was talking about sessions in 1985 before he actually left the band. They were actually working on some stuff early 85, apparently, before he left. Jesus. So that was right around that era. But you're both right.
Interesting.
David Lee Roth. So we're all tied up at 2. All right. Let's try this quote here. My personal record is 5 chicks at once in Nashville. In a moment of inspiration, I ran off to my room with 2, and I said, I want to be with both of you. And they sat bolt upright and said, but we're sisters. Kevin, what book is that from?
Oh, Jesus. Well, again, both prolific shaggers, so it's really difficult to choose between. Yeah, I'm stuck in Mark's conundrum here. Are you going to throw us 3 Daves in a row, or are you going to switch it up again? You know what? I'm going to go opposite to what I think Mark's going to say. Just again, just to make an interesting... I think Sammy. I'll say Sammy.
Okay. One vote for you. Sammy Hagar's autobiography, Red. Mark, what are you thinking?
I feel like you chose this one on purpose because I'm the Nashville guy.
Maybe.
Maybe. And I appreciate you for it. I actually think this one is also Sammy Hagar. Oh,
and you're both wrong. Both are David Lee Roth.
Of course, it's David. In Nashville, of course. Of course it's David Lee Roth.
What were we thinking? What were we thinking?
I don't know. This is what I get for straying away.
All right. Here's one for you.
I feel like I should have known that story, though. That's all I'm mad at myself for not knowing.
In that same vein, during Eddie's guitar solo, which is always about 20 minutes, I'd have 5 or 6 girls backstage, naked, all of us having brutal sex while Eddie was out there doing his thing. When I went back out, I had to stuff my hard-on back in those tight pants. Mark Kammeyer, what book did that come from?
David Lee Roth.
Boy, you didn't even
because I don't know. I don't know I've ever seen Sammy in like overly tight pants, but David Lee Roth was always in tight pants, so... Yeah.
Good point. Okay, so that's one vote for David Lee Roth. Kevin, what are you thinking?
I think, again, it's like the first question. I think I've heard this before, and I think it's Sammy. I think it's roughly around about the same type of... He's talking about the same thing as that first question. I think it's Sammy Hagar.
You're right. It's Sammy Hagar. You're wow, up 3-2. What do you say? I got a few quotes left. Let's try another one here. Boy, this one's interesting. And I quote, I'm going to tie you up, put you in the trunk of your car. We're going to call your kid and make a few dollars. Anything goes wrong, I'm going to shoot you. Kevin Brown, what book is that quote from?
Jesus. I'd love to know the context of that. I'm going to find out after this podcast. But I think Diamond Dave was maybe a little less together than Sammy. So I'll go Dave.
Okay. Mark?
Well, Dave is straight up insane, so I have to imagine this was Dave. Yeah, like I'm not gonna branch off again. I'm going Dave again.
You're both right. Both are David Lee Roth, and it was actually something happened. I did read the whole passage, but it was his dad that was taken or told to. So somebody was threatening to kidnap David Lee Roth, and they threatened his dad with that. So
oh Jesus,
you gotta read this book. It's fucking wild.
Yeah, apparently okay. So. Yeah.
All right, our next quote. I can't sing, I said. I promise you, Van Halen will come back and do a free concert for Dallas. We cut the show short, and the brothers went nuclear on me afterward. They crucified me for it. It was 3 years before we made good. Mark Kammeyer, which book is that from?
I think that is Sammy Hagar's.
Okay. One vote for Sammy. Kevin?
I think it is too. I think it is too. Yeah. I don't think I don't think Dave would have handled that quite as courteously as there's worded in the book there. So I'm gonna go Sammy.
And you're both right. That both came from Sammy Hagar's book. So the current standings are Kevin 4, Mark 3. I got one more quote left. Mark, you need this to tie. Even if you guys both get it wrong, you're gonna walk away with the title here tonight. But our final quote of the evening is this. I woke up in the bushes about 10 o'clock the next morning. Ed and I found our way back with some people who had a Jeep. They took us back to the beach road. From there, we walked. Kevin Brown, which book is that from?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. Less easy. I would say just going on the beach and knowing how much Sammy loves the sand, I'll go Sammy again.
Okay, one vote for Sammy. Mark?
I'm going back to David Lee Roth.
Mark Kammeyer tied it up.
Oh,
that is from David Lee Roth, which means I don't have another quote. So I got to grab one of the books. I'm going to do this. I'm just going to grab a random page here. We'll see if I can find something cool.
I have this image in my brain of some of our listeners who probably know these books backwards and forwards, yes. And they're just screaming. They are screaming at their phones, their stereos, whatever they're listening to. They're like, God, you idiot. How did you not know that this was obviously read the damn book? Like, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Look. Sometimes you get too busy in life and you don't have time to read. I like to use Audible sometimes. They're not a sponsor, but they should be. Audible. It's great. People read books to you, sometimes in dramatic fashion. Sometimes there is even a music accompaniment with it. I enjoy those a lot. I especially enjoy when you get a full cast of people to act out each character. Please do more of that, and please sponsor the show Audible. We are big fans of your work.
All right. I found a passage from one of the books. I'm reading this cold. I just kind of flipped to a page. We're going to read it out here, and you guys tell me if this came from Dave's book or Sammy's book. Here we go.
All right.
I had to go to the bathroom. It's pitch black. In the men's room, there's a bathtub to urinate in. I position my legs against the edge of the bathtub. I'm starting to take a leak, and I hear a little voice that says, a little more to the left. So I kind of flare my elbows a little bit. I can't feel anybody next to me. There was somebody in the bathtub. First thing I thought was, do I tip this guy? What book is this from?
That is just a perfect quote to end this on. Oh, man. Did I go first last time? I think Kevin goes first, right?
You know, Kevin's the guest. You go first, Mark.
Yeah, go first. Okay. All right. You know what? I'm going to say that one is Sammy Hagar.
Okay. Great. That's a read from Sammy Hagar. Kevin?
Yeah. Well, I think it is too, but I'll say Dave just because I think we should have a winner. So, and you know what? And again, either of them could say it because what do we got going on there?
It was Dave.
David Lee Roth. Crazy from the Heat. Kevin Brown is our champion here tonight. Best of both books. You know what? I know some people said they didn't like the first round we did of that game, Mark, but I think tonight was pretty successful. I had a lot of fun playing best.
That one's pretty great. Yeah. Don't let Mariano's influence. He was just mad because like those quotes were so predictable. Like, yeah, whatever. Get out of here.
I tried to make it a little bit harder, and I'm glad I stumped you on a few, actually. So that's good.
You absolutely did. Like, yeah. I was pretty convinced most of those were David LeRoy quotes, but there you go.
I couldn't believe like Sammy has a whole section on, you know, same with Dave, like, you know, how he would pick chicks out of the crowd and the whole 10 thing, you know, that was Sammy Hagar doing five or six chicks while Eddie was doing his solo. That was all Sammy. So I was kind of surprised that was in his book.
Just crazy.
You rock and roll deviants, all of you. But that's just, they don't call it sex, drugs, and rock and roll for nothing. So there it is. And to all of you out there, please sex, drugs, and rock and roll responsibly. That is the best advice we could possibly give you. That is, that's the show, you guys. We've done it. We've got another one in the books. Kevin Brown, please, you mentioned the show again, but please tell us where people can find you when they want to find out your goings-ons.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Twitter at the Tom Petty Project, and on Instagram and Facebook at Tom Petty Project. And yeah, come talk to me. Come listen to the episodes and talk to me. I like talking music as much as these guys do, and I do like talking Van Halen too. I do talk about other things on my feed as well because I love music generally.
Please, Kevin, if you had a good time, please come back, and please, when you're doing like Full Moon Fever, Wildflowers, Into the Great Wide Open, please keep me in mind. I'm a huge Tom Petty fan. I'd love to talk a little Tom Petty with you sometime.
Done deal. Easy.
He's a rebel without a clue, but he does have some socials. Corey, where can the people find you?
Oh, they could find me at CD Morset on Twitter. They could find me on this Twitter handle right here at the Podcast Will Rock, www.podcastwillrock.com. Go get yourself some merch. We've been selling a lot of stickers, a lot of t-shirts. Go get yourself a hoodie. Go get yourself a phone case. Lots of good stuff on podcastwillrock.com. You can also find me on my two other podcasts with John Mariano. One is Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited, where we're breaking down the entire Aerosmith catalog one track at a time. And we're trying to compile the ultimate Aerosmith mixtape, which is going along swimmingly. And we just started a new show, Backtracks Theme Music, where we're talking our favorite music from movies. The show that just dropped this week is on Metallica, Master of Puppets from Stranger Things. So Go check out that show if you're a fan of Metallica or a fan of Stranger Things. And you can find me right here every week talking with Mark Meyer about the greatest rock and roll band that's ever been, Van Halen.
Yeah, he's a busy man, but he's never too busy to talk some rock music. You can find me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram. Like Corey said, at Podcast Will Rock, that's where we are on Twitter. And be sure to tune into all of the shows on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. Any band you can think of from yesteryear or a band that you just love that is still holds true to you, guarantee you there is a show that discusses all of them. Look at us. We discuss Van Halen. We're on there. Tom Petty, Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, you name it. It's there. Go check it out. Go check out all of those guys. Check out all the shows. You're going to have a good time. I assure you, if you had remotely a good time listening to Van Halen songs and discussing them with us.
And I teased one thing at the beginning of the show. I want to announce it here as part of All Star August. We're bringing on the one and only Greg Renoff, author of Van Halen Rising, will be here the third week of August. He's very excited to spin the wheel. I gave him his option. Do you want to pick a song? He's like, fuck no. I want to spin the wheel and talk about whatever comes up. So of all the great guests we have coming up in August, Greg Renoff, author of the Ted Templeman biography and Van Halen Rising, is going to be on this show in just a couple of weeks. I can't wait.
That is going to be an action-packed episode, probably going to be double time. So plan your day accordingly. That's we're going to have so much to talk about, I assure you. And then we're going to listen to a song. So be ready for that. I am certainly ready for that. Hopefully I'll be COVID-free at that point. Not that I'm feeling bad now, but let's just hope that that continues, because this is really, really dumb. Staying in the house and not being able to go anywhere. But it is what it is. Stay safe, stay vigilant, stay rocking, all of you guys. For Corey, myself, Kevin, thank you for listening to And the Podcast Will Rock, and we will rock you later.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.